speak about passion in the church. I said passion in the church. Passion. Passion. I want to talk about passion. I want to talk about something that grabs us in the gut and drives our life. I just want to talk about passion, you know, as though passion was just something that you can take or leave. Every young man, when he meets a young woman for the first time and he wants to spend the rest of his life with her, he's driven by passion. And every young lady who wants to get married to a young man, she's got passion. There's something about passion that sort of sets all the juices going. And it comes from God, you know. It comes from God. God is a God who is a passionate God. And I want to talk about passion in the church. I want to touch on some areas of why passion is lost and how to regain passion. And anybody who's done anything has done it out of passion. Anybody who's amounted to any sort of fame, the thing that has driven their life more than anything is passion. And I don't know why it is, but for a long time now in the Christian church, of course not Life Church, but you know, in the church general, for a long time, people have sort of embraced in the Western culture this sort of Christianity that's sort of ho-hum Christianity. Way that I can explain it. It's sort of, we just want to get enough of God to bug us rather than bless us. We know we've got to be here. We know we're about church. We know we're in relationship with one another. And it's like a lot of marriages. That young, passionate young man and that passionate young woman, over the years of toiling it out and gutting it out and gritting it out and bringing up kids and all that sort of stuff, passion somewhere seems to go out the window. Passion. You can't live without passion. You cannot live without passion. You ask any woman who's given birth. You cannot live without passion. I was talking to one of the young blokes today about breathing. He injured his rib, you know, and I'm not going to talk about Brad, but he injured his rib and he found it really hard to breathe. And I said, we had a guy who came through in Western Australia. Training people to breathe shallow rather than breathe deep, because when you breathe shallow, more oxygen is released into your system and you don't get as tired. And it's really interesting, when a woman's giving birth, she's told to pant, you know, and there's something in that. There's something in passion that makes us continually keep on pulsating, keep on breathing, but it doesn't necessarily have to be big and loud, although most of the time it is big and loud. Passion's like that. It's not a quiet thing, passion. And I don't know why we've become so ho-hum in the church that we really don't want too much display. I'm a bit of a passionate preacher. I love Kev's a passionate preacher. Artists who excel are driven by passion. Passion drives an artist. You know, musicians, architects, business people, athletes, scientists, explorers, anybody who accomplishes anything is marked by passion. Passion marks a person. I don't want to hear a preacher preach who's not a passionate preacher. I want to be convinced that the person really has got something driving them that's bigger than themselves. I don't want to hear the thoughts and ideas that come from a man. I really want to hear God speaking. I
mean, God speaks.
He speaks passionately. You only got to read the Bible to see how passionate God is. When he deals with people, he's a passionate God. He is a passionate God. Amazing thing. God. You know, Christians, we're meant to be, we come to the Lord and we have a really, you know, it's sort of like, wow, this is what life's like. This is what it's about. Your sins are forgiven, you feel clean, you feel pure, you've got an energy pulsating through you. You've just received a new gift in your life that sort of harnesses you. It's called the Holy Spirit. He comes to live within you, and all of a sudden, there is something that rises within you, and you just want to tell everybody. Anyone remember those days? And it's a sort of this thing that drives. And when that happens, from the day of our conversion, from the day of our salvation, we are ruined for the ordinary. extraordinary. And God says that his sons and his daughters, his kids, are extraordinary. They are not still ordinary, you know, ho-hum stuff that used to be in life. Now they are new. They are extraordinary. They are a new creation. They are new creatures. The old is gone and the new has come. There is something within a person when they come to Christ that is filled with the life of God, which is the life of passion. It's great. The Bible school on Monday night, those of you who don't do Bible school, Bible college, you just miss so much. It's just great to hear Kev on the first session Monday night talking about the people that have influenced his life. And you see passion rising as passionate people have sown into his life and he's become a passionate man. I love that. I love that. I want to give you a parable, but sort of modern day parable. The Lord sort of gave me some sort of picture. I remember watching the Today Show and I saw a group of kids. There was something happening. I can't remember what. I was trying to catch the news early in the morning. And there's a group of kids and they were all standing together. They all had helium balloons. And they counted down. I think Mark Denny are doing the weather. He counts down with this group of kids, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And they let the balloons go. And they all rose up in the air. And that reminded me of Christians. That reminded me of us. You know, I wrote it down so that I wouldn't forget it. You know, we're like helium-filled balloons. We receive Jesus, his forgiveness, and are filled with his spirit. And as they are released, they soar like helium balloons just released. When we first come to Jesus, it's awesome. We sort of soar. You know, it's full of passion. There's something wonderful about Jesus that's so contagious. They soar into heaven, but pretty soon the helium depletes and it loses altitude and eventually comes back to earth. Some of them fall into a ditch. Some get caught up in electric wires or in trees. Some fall into the fields never to be seen again. And some just burst in the heat of the sun. Still, sort of a little bit like the parable of the sower, hey. But helium balloons. Christians. And they start out with vigor and vitality, but for whatever reason their dreams shrink. Their ambitions shrink. Their drive shrinks. The vitality of their new experience fades until they are dangling in danger, lost with the crowd and wondering what happened. A lot of people say this sort of thing. Why have I lost my zip? You know. What brought me down to earth? Why have I become lifeless? Where's the passion? The thing. Now, I want to just say this to start with. Passion, and you just understand what I'm saying. Passion is bloody hard work. It doesn't just happen, passion. You work at it. Helen Keller, any of you know Helen Keller's story? Helen Keller, as a young child, contracted a disease that nobody knew what it was. It left her deaf and blind. As she grew up in her childhood, she became an angry, violent young lady. She used to smash the dishes in the sink. She couldn't communicate. She couldn't touch her world. People couldn't touch her. She couldn't hear or see. And she was totally frustrated. And this frustration drove her life. Until God brought a person into her life. Another lady. Who started to connect with her. And something happened in Helen Keller's life when she came to a release in her life and she started to see that something that she could communicate somewhere. Somehow she could communicate. And that drove her. And it filled her with passion. And that passion that drove her life and harnessed her as she had this born again experience that drove her life with this passion. Of course, she discovered Braille as we understand. Basically, it was her that drove that whole thing. And she said this, Helen Keller, if I can find the quote here somewhere, Helen Keller said this, life is either a daring adventure or it's nothing. Life is either a daring adventure or it's nothing. It's definitely not ho-hum. It's definitely not just sort of lost the zip. It's something that needs to happen in our lives. So, why have I deflated? Why am I just muddling by? Why do I feel hollow inside and numb to the things of the Spirit? And so many do today. Just feel numb to the things of the Spirit. And so something happens and the flow of the Spirit starts to happen and people get threatened by it and sort of isolate rather than embrace the passion
that needs to be embraced. People who lack passion aren't really living. They're merely existing. I want to give you quickly four types. People, you might fall into one of these types. I don't know. I definitely did. First one is the reactionary person. I'm talking about Christians now. I'm talking about people in the church and why passion sort of dies, why we lose zeal and focus and daring and all this sort of thing. They move from one experience to another, just merely existing, dictated to by their past, circumstances beyond their control. And they're worried about what might happen in their life rather than living life. They see themselves as a survivor in a hostile world filled with unfriendly and threatening people. They become reactionary and are unteachable. There's no passion for change. There's no passion for change. Do you know what marks an unteachable person? It's a person who has no passion for change. Be passionate for change. Be passionate for change. Not change that you can bring, but change in your own life. Be passionate for change in my life. Be passionate. Have a prayer on your heart and ask God to show you what you don't want to see. Be passionate for change. Embrace change. God's the God of change. He's always bringing change. He never is stagnant, never the same. He's a passionate God. He's about restoration. He's about newness. He's about expanding. He's about abundance. And be passionate about that. The second type of person is the passive person. This is a survival mentality. For some, they become passive, introverted, avoiding confrontation or any form of conflict. They want peace at all costs, even if it emasculates themselves. They would rather put up with personal frustration in order to maintain peace. And in their passivity, they're unteachable. For there's no passion for change. No passion for change. Others become confrontive and with anything that threatens their securities. Securities that are designed to keep them from being hurt again. If anyone reminds them of a past hurt or bad experience, they reject them. And in their confrontation, they become unteachable. No passion for change. And then there's the extroverted types, not just the introverted and the confrontive types, the extroverted types, loud and overpowering, manipulating conversations through incessant talking to keep others from finding out what really is inside, afraid of rejection, often the life of the party, always talking about their accomplishments, craving for intimacy, but afraid to be vulnerable. And in their extrovertedness, they're unteachable, no passion for change. Well, this sounds sort of pretty, heavy, down the mouth, sort of, you know, let's get some good news here going. So what's the answer? If you don't have a passion to be changed, you won't be passionate about God and about his church. If you don't have a passion for change, you will not be passionate about God and you will not be passionate about his church. If you don't have a passion for change, you will not be passionate about God and have a passion for his church. If you don't have a passion for change, you will not be passionate about God and be passionate for his church. Change. Now, the change we're talking about is the inner change. The change that being passionate about, I don't want to be the same way I am. I don't want to be this way all the time. I don't want to be dictated to by my past. I don't want to be dictated to by my forebears. I don't want to be dictated to by my fathers. I don't want to be dictated to by my habituated temperament. I don't want to use myself as an excuse and sort of tell other people, well, they're the problem. You'll either like me or you lump me. I want to be passionate for change. I want to be passionate about change in my heart, change in my life. I want to be passionate about that. If you're not passionate about that, you'll have no passion for God. And no passion for his church. I want to tell you, God's passionate for his church. God's passionate for you. God's passionate for you. He died for you. He died for you. To rescue you. What did he die to rescue you from? What did he die to rescue me from? Jesus died to rescue me from me. I am the sin. It's my heart that's sinful. What I do comes out of that thing. It's corrupt, it's evil, the Bible says it's that way. Jesus came to die to rescue me from me. And I don't want to live my life now trying to get enough of God so that my life becomes better. The Bible is full of passages that tell me that I've got to die. Die to self. Die to my own things. If I want to find life, I've got to lose it. If I try to find my life, I'm going to lose it. You know, it's God's economy so totally different. So how do you regain passion, godly passion? John 10:10 is a scripture that you really need to make a note of. Don't look it up in your Bible, because I'm going to read it out of the Message. If you've got a Message, that's cool, you can look it up. But listen to what it says. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than ever dreamed of. I came that they might have a better life than they ever dreamed of, real and eternal. See, the thief has come to rob, kill and destroy. He's come so that you'll never discover that life. That's what he's doing. And the only way that he can keep you from ever discovering that real life, that life that you've never dreamed of, that real eternal life, the only way that he's come to stop you from experiencing it here on earth now is to make sure that you are really living your old life. Keep you locked into the old. Keep you locked into the old things. Keep locked into the death things. Keep you locked into that. Don't ever let them go to discover what really brings passion. This brings passion. Passion that is according to God's creator design. Passion for embracing who Christ is, what he's done, who I am, who I'm destined to be, what I'm destined to do, where I'm destined to do it. I want to tell you all that when you came to Jesus Christ and you received him as your Lord and Savior, you were destined for greatness. You were not destined for ordinariness. You weren't destined just to be so-ho, hum-hum, sort of ordinary. You were destined to be a son, a daughter of the living God. You've got a call on your life. You've got a destiny on your life. Not only has he just done that and sort of said, okay, now you get to and make sure it happens, but he says, I'll give you gifts. I'll pour my life into you, and my gifts will be in you, and they are extraordinary, and those things are passionate. You can't tell me that the Holy Ghost living inside of us isn't passionate. Why are people praying tongues? Crazy stuff. God's pretty passionate about it. He said, don't forbid it. Paul said, oh, would you all did it. It's so extraordinary and so incredibly wonderful. It's passion. Why do you think John, the great lover, tells us that God is love and love one another? You can't tell me that that love's not passionate love. I'm not talking about sexual passion, but it's passionate. It means that I will defend Lyndon. If somebody comes and speaks a word against Lyndon to my heart, I will not receive that word. I say, have you got a problem with Lyndon? Go to Lyndon. Don't come to me. I don't want to hear it. I'm passionate about that. I'm passionate about what God says in his word. I'm passionate about he's got a purpose for our lives and he's got a destiny for us, and the devil's come to rob it. And I know I'm standing here, you're just looking at one person right now, but I'm standing here looking at all of you, and I see in all of your faces, a lot of your faces, that you've never realized your destiny. You don't know what you don't have a passion that's burning in your bones. It's hard to get out of bed sometimes. And not only is it hard to get out of bed because there's nothing bigger than yourself driving you, but it's hard to come to church. Why go to church? It's just, you know, should be something bigger than this. This is God's forever family. You are my brothers and sisters. We're family. And the Bible says this is deeper than flesh and blood. We're passionate about our families. Some of you go into great debt this Christmas to buy gifts for your kids and for your loved ones and all that sort of stuff. You're passionate about that. You know, whether or not you feel there's a pressure to do it or whatever. But I want to tell you, God's family is so much more powerful than our flesh and blood families. And I'm passionate about that. I'm passionate about my wife. I'm passionate about my kids. I'm passionate about my grandkids. But they do not rate. Listen, you need to hear me. They do not rate compared to my passion for God and for his house, his family. I lay down all the other to serve him and his family. Passion of God consumes me. All of that comes into balance. I've got a passionate wife, and she's passionate about God. And because I'm passionate about God, and she's passionate about God and God's house, we're passionate together. And it's a glorious thing, I tell you. It's fantastic. I love it. We don't argue about this. We don't argue about money. We don't argue about bills. We don't argue about what we don't have and what we'd like to have and all that sort of stuff. We're just consumed with the passion for God and His house, for people, for His family that still haven't come in yet. Passion. Well, God wants us to live life with passion, vitality, and enthusiasm. Let me read in the Living. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. This is life off the charts, according to human reasoning. It doesn't mean to say that we're always up there. Do you know what I mean? It's not we're always walking on a mountaintop. But it's life off the charts. It's what gets you out of bed in the morning with an energy in your life. As soon as we start to live life out of our own energy, we lose passion. That's where passion goes. It's not an other than you life. It's not the you life getting better. If that's what your life is and your view of God and the church is, if it's your you life getting better, you're just like a helium balloon. You crash down again. It's got little to do with us getting better. Hey, life on the edge. It's to be, it's to be enjoyed, not endured. It's to be enjoyed, not endured. It's to be enjoyed, not endured. I wish I could take you. I wish I could take you all over to some of the Latin American countries. Now, Latin Americans are excitable people. Portuguese are excitable people. I wish I could take you into some of those cultures and see their passion. When they come to Jesus, they're passionate. They're so passionate about it that they display it. Do you know? And their display of their passion is contagious. You think, well, if only I could do that. And before long, when you're in their meetings, you're doing it. And some of us are in church and we look at some of the staff and we'll look at young people and they'll be in the mosh pit doing this and sort of say, I don't do it because of my knees, but I'd like to do it. You know? And they're all jigging and junking them around. We say, oh, you know, how fleshly is that? Passion! I'd rather have that than sit in a whole long face thing of people judging and criticizing. Passion. Don't turn your nose down on those people. I love to see Amanda Clark get up, get up here. And I love to see her passion. And we can sit back and we can judge and think we wish she could do this better or that better and all that sort of stuff. But I love a passion. I love the passion. I want to see passionate people. We all need some passion. You know, it may not all be Manders, may not all be Kevs or whatever, but there's something that's bigger than ourselves that God's destined us for, every one of us. And the only way it will come into your life is by passion. And the only way passion will come in if you're passionate about change that needs to happen in your heart. That's how it happened. Now, these are passion killers, quickly. Unclear purpose is a passion killer. Unclear purpose is a passion killer. You know, you've got no desire for anything really, apathetic, lethargic. Rather than going through life by design, you go through by default. Isaiah 49:4 says, this is Isaiah, the great prophet of God, has incredible prophecies. You know, he says, God, I'll go. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And God takes coal off the altar and purges his lips. And he says this in Isaiah 49. Amazing scripture. Verse 4. I've worked for nothing. I've nothing to show for a life of hard work. He got frustrated. Isaiah got frustrated at one point in time and he blurts this out. What was he doing? Isaiah was being honest with God. He's saying, this is tough. I've been slaving away in the gospel and all this sort of stuff and I'm getting tired. And what he's saying by his cry is, he's saying, I need change. I need change. That's what he's saying. Recorded for eternity in the word of God for us to hear. Second thing that really kills passion, and I'm just sort of skimming these rather than going deep into them. Wrong priorities is a passion killer. Wrong priorities. If you're overworked and tired from your own effort, you'll have no passion. If you're overworked and tired from your own effort, you'll have no passion. Hey, if you're running a business and you're just energizing it out of yourself and you'll get tired and run down and you'll have no passion. But every young man, every young woman that starts a business, they start it with passion. They start it with energy. They start it with a vision. They start it with enthusiasm. They start it with boom. And all of a sudden it gets out of that arena into just dogged hard work and energizing out of themselves. I want to tell you as a Christian, your energy needs to come from God. Your energy needs to come from God. That's where it needs to come from. Whatever you're doing, it comes from God. So wrong priorities. Fatigue makes, this is Vince Lombardi, not many Australians know him. We lived in the States for a while. He was a very famous Green Bay Packers coach, American football. He said this, fatigue makes cowards out of all of us. Fatigue makes cowards out of all of us. That's true. Fatigue trains energy. We lose zip, whatever, and we give ourselves just to sort of, you know, vegging around because we feel we need time out. Unresolved conflicts are passion killers. They rob passion. Bible says, don't let the sun go down in your anger. Do not believe a bad report. Do not have backbiting and criticism and all those sort of things. These are passion robbers. You know, we find that it's easier to blame shift and blame others for the things that are going wrong rather than having a passion for what needs to change in our own hearts. Passion killers. And you've only got to hang around hearing a few people talking about some few bad reports and bad mouthing on somebody and stuff like that. And all of a sudden you find passion starts to die in your heart because you're listening to it. You're taking it in. Passion dies in your heart. Not only dying in their heart, but you're letting that now kill passion in your heart. You're finding energies running out of you, drain out of you. Passion for God's house, passion to come to meetings, passion for the people of God. And you know, one of the great things that you can see when that happens, you have compassionate people. And they end up having compassion fatigue. Compassion fatigue. They really want to help people, but they're just fatigued out because all they're hearing is bad reports. Criticism, backbiting, stuff that's happening, draining passion. And do you know what compassion is? Do you know what compassion is? It is passion. It's being in the company of passionate people. Having compassion comes from being with passionate people. You have compassion because you live with a passionate God. He's a God full of compassion. His passion comes to us through Jesus. His passion comes to us completely. And his passion is meant to reach out from us to others. Tiredness will drain it. Criticism will drain it. Conflicts are passion killers. They rob us. Independence is a passion killer. Living without the support of others, relationships, and enhance who I really am and not who I think I am. You know, if we live independent of having people speak the truth to us in love, and we're an island by ourselves, that's the biggest thing that robs passion out of our hearts. If we just hang around with people who agree with us and our point of view and reinforce our position, if we hang there, we have no passion for change in our own hearts. No capacity for it to happen. So we need to hang with people who will speak the truth in love. I want people that will speak the truth in love to me. I want to hear what I don't want to hear. I want to have the passionate love of Jesus touching my heart so that change can happen in my heart. I don't want to be in that company whereby we're just allowing these things. I don't want to be isolated and independent. Independence kills passion. It robs passion. I really don't want to be what I think I want to be. I want to be and obtain the destiny that God's got for me. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says this, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. They'll find somebody else to take them down with them. And an unexamined life kills passion. An unexamined life. We need to examine ourselves. Search the heart. This is the key to it. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us look closely at our ways and examine them and let us return to the Lord. I love that. If passion is robbed from your heart, if you're losing that energy and vitality and vigor in the things of God, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. You can't hide behind the excuse, well, I'm just a quiet person, or I'm just a gentle person, or I'm just a whatever person, or I'm this sort of thing, and I'm not like that, and I'm not like Kev, I'm not like Gary, or whatever excuse you might want. That's not me. It's got nothing to do with passion. Don't hide behind who you think you are. Discover and have a heart of change to embrace who God declares you are, not who you think you are. Not living out of the thing from your fathers of the past. And unapplied truth kills passion. When I know the right thing to do and I don't do it, it robs passion. Sin and passion cannot cohabit together. It's impossible. You compromise the word of God and passion dies in your heart. Instant. Instant. You don't want to hang out with God when you know you're sinning. You don't want to do it. You know, you want some time out. Stuff like that. Don't you love the fact that God's real, the scriptures, men, women fail all the way through. The great champions of the faith, they all fail. But if we don't embrace that, if we don't embrace that change, if we're not given to that, what we will do when we've got compromise in our own heart, we will then point our finger at others and point out their faults and their failings. Like Kev, I think, said last week about we'll see the splinter in our brother and miss the beam in our own. Unapplied truth really kills passion. James 1:23 says this. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are and what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. Hey, don't you love that? That's the message. Great translation. And Jesus says this in Luke 8:21. Jesus replaced it, my mother and brothers are the ones who hear and do God's word. Obedience is thicker than blood. That's the message too. I love that. That's great. And unexpressed faith kills passion. Ephesians 4:15, God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. If you don't share the message he's entrusted into your life to share, then someone's not going to hear it. And as soon as you shut your mouth and you don't share the good news, passion dies. Passion dies. Passion dies. The greatest thing that releases and brings passion is when we're passionate about God. I don't know why we get so passionate about our footy teams. I really cannot understand how someone can even be remotely passionate about the Seagulls. Can't understand that one. But they get passionate about it. We get passionate about cricket. We get passionate about sport. We get passionate about movies. We get passionate about food. If we have a good experience in a restaurant, we tell people about it. And I wonder how long it's been, coming up to Christmas, since you personally have ever asked one of your friends to come to church. Do you love your church? You're passionate about it. This is family. I want people in my family, don't you? Or are we so too protected? We don't want anyone to come and stay in our house, you know. Gee, we want our privacy, don't we? This is us, you know. I'm not going to share my things with others. I don't want anybody else in my house, you know. This is our house, eh? No, it's not. It's God's house. We're his children. His family. And we do not have, a monopoly on it. We're here for others to come. We're here to give birth. We're here for everyone to come into his family. That's what his desire is. If you have unexpressed faith, it kills passion. Now, quickly, I just want to just bring this to a conclusion. And looking at the time there, really quick. To sum it up, this is what we're looking at. We need to have passion for a clear purpose for our life bigger than ourselves. You need a clear passion, a clear vision for your life, a clear purpose for your life that's bigger than you. You won't get out of bed and you won't have anything to drive you if you don't. You've got to have God's priorities for your life. Not your own priorities, God's priorities. What does God say about you? What does God declare over you? What's God's purpose for you? What's God's gifts on your life? What does God say about it? No, it doesn't really matter what I think about it. What does he say about it? That really matters. Remembering that it's not your life getting better, it's his life taking over. It's not your life getting better, it's his life taking over. Thirdly, That we need passion for resolving all conflicts. Got to have a passion about that. Given to that. You know, not everybody will have a conflict resolved, but at least as far as you're concerned, make sure there's nothing from you that's contributing to that conflict. We're not talking about compromising the word of truth, because when there's a word of truth, there'll be conflict. Even in families, there'll be conflict. Kev punched his brother out. Hey, gee, that's passion. We need to have passion for God's house and his people. Don't be an independent. We need to be passionate, have passion for not taking your life for granted. Keep short accounts. Be open. Have your heart open. Examine it. You need to have passion for doing what you know is right. You know the right thing and do it. Don't be foolish and know the right thing and don't do it. Kills passion. Passion's doing what you know the right thing to do. And you need to have passion for sharing your faith, expressing Jesus to others. And I want to tell you something. In John 10:10, the thief wants you to be ordinary. That's what he wants. The thief wants you to be ordinary. I want to say this to you. You cannot think that because you're not on a platform that you're ordinary. More is required of those that would be on a platform than any other person. More account, more, you've got to give more account to God for that. Just because you're not on the platform doesn't mean to say you're ordinary. The thief wants you to believe that you're ordinary. You're not ordinary. You're not ordinary. You're extraordinary. You're ruined for the ordinary. Don't let the thief keep you ordinary. Passion will rise above that. Passion will say, no. Passion says no. The person who continues in the place that they are, whether they're just sort of seeing themselves as a peacemaker or an extrovert or a whatever that we've looked at, you know, don't live there. Have a passion for who God declares you to be. Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's my Deliverer. He's my Redeemer. He has set me free from myself. That's who I am. I am a son of God. I am called by God. I am a prosperous man. That's who I am. I am a new creation. I am no longer under the sins of my fathers. I am a free man. That's who I am. I am an encourager. I am not a complainer. I am an exhorter. That's who I am. I am not a negative man. I'm a positive man. I am an edifier. I'm a proclaimer of good news. That's who I am. I'm not a condemner. I'm a rescuer, an emergency worker. That's who I am. I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, a preacher, a prophetic teacher. That's who I am. I am blood washed, spirit filled, inheritor of blessing. My name is in the book of life. I am destined for greatness because my God is great. That's who I am. That's who I am. I don't care what people say. I don't care what my past fathers said and my forefathers and my forebears. That's who I am. That's who Jesus says I am. Who are you? Do you know who you are? You're destined for greatness. And passion is what brings that into your heart. Having a passion for God. Not a passion for your business. Not a passion for your family. Those things will fall into place. But having a passion for God and God's family and God's house. And identifying the passion killers and rising into who you are destined to be in God. Let's all stand together. Father, as we stand in your presence now, we're not a discouraged people right now. We're an encouraged people because you declare something over us today. You declare over us your destiny. You declare over us your purpose. You declare it's an eternal destiny. It's an eternal purpose. For I'm an inheritor of eternal things. For you've come to give me eternal life. The devil's come to rob. He's a thief. He's a killer. He's come to destroy it and keep me ordinary. He's come to keep me living as a mere human, locked into the sins of my forebears, locked into the conditions of my own habituated temperament. That's what the devil has done. But you declare I'm a new creation. You declare I'm new in Christ. You declare that the old is gone, the new has come. You declare me to be a son. You declare me to be a daughter of the living God. And this day, Father, let passion rise in our hearts. Let passion rise in our hearts towards you because you are a passionate God towards us. You died for us. You died for me. You saved me. Your blood would never cease flowing over my life. You are constantly restoring me. You say you'll never leave me and never forsake me, so much as your passion for me. You say that nothing will ever overcome me. Nothing will empower me, take power over me. Nothing will harm me. But you give me authority over to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the work of the evil one. That's who we are. That's who you declare us to be. Now, God, today, as we stand in your presence, may it be that we become passionate people, passionate about change, passionate about embracing your change, passionate about these things. And God, if we will need to recall any of it, that we'll take the time and be passionate to get the CD and to allow your word to permeate us, that we might understand the change and understand what you want to change. For we would rise with passion to be your people in this house, in this city, in this nation. And you have destined us for greatness, individually and corporately. Your family is a great family. Your church is a great church. Your people are a great people. Oh God, how great you are. We sang it in the song that we sang today. How great you are. You are an awesome God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As I look as we're praying, I thank you, Father, for every person I can see right now. I thank you for each one. I thank you, Father. I look them in their face and I thank you for them. I thank you they're destined for greatness. I thank you that they're destined for passion. I thank you, God, that they see today in a sense that they've perhaps never seen before, that the enemy's come to rob that. But you've come to bring it. You've come to bring it. You've come to bring it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So be it, Lord, for each one of us as we embrace who you are and embrace each other with love. We love your family. Just open your eyes, folks. Don't look at me. Just look around. Eyeball people. Hey.